This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Wednesday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
I'm like, what day of the week is it? It's Wednesday, and it is also this, what is it? Gosh, the 10th.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? We are already 10 days. We're a third of the way into the month of December.
Well, I am decorated for Christmas, which is very lovely. In fact, this morning while I was doing show prep and all that stuff, I had my Christmas videos and music playing. It's also 3 months since we lost Charlie Kirk. Just speaking of, today is the 10th, and I cannot believe, and everything that's been going on. I mean, we'll probably talk about this in a little bit. Erica Kirk finally coming out and addressing a lot of the stuff that's been going on. But it's been, you know, and I remember right when it first happened, it was like, oh, I think this is going to be a real big unifying moment. And it was. It felt like 9/11, which for about a day, and then everyone went back to whatever tribe, whatever faction they were in, whatever fingers they wanted to be pointed, and they all came out out, and feels like that's where we are today.
Yeah, well, I think it was more than a day, but it wasn't nearly long enough. I think so much of it was you had the despicables that were out there posting on social media, and everybody, you know, if whether you like Charlie Kirk or you didn't, so it brought a lot of mid-level people in who said, this is a life, and he was assassinated. Yeah. And to be posting the things you're doing online mocking his death or whatever else, you know, that was a big unifier and brought a whole lot of, you know, 80% of the people together. Right. But unfortunately it did not last anywhere near long enough, especially once you saw factions within the conservative side of things starting to break off and finger point and different things.
Well, and that's where we are now. And there's, I mean, we talked a little bit about what happened with Tim Pool. Candace Owens is out there doing her thing. And Tucker Carlson and a bunch, you know, and these are people with huge platforms. Yep. We're like, not even in the same universe with all of that. But we certainly have opinions on it. I have not been a fan of what Candace Owens has been doing. And Erica Kirk was on Fox News this morning with Harris Faulkner. And without saying the name, I mean, obviously she was fully head on addressing that. And I think she did a great job. The woman is a fierce, and she's sort of coming out from a mama bear perspective. And it's enough is enough. Can we have one thing? She said, one thing. And I'm with her, so I'm really firmly standing in alongside of her. I'm so tired of the rest of it all. Mm-hmm. It's just doing so much damage. Where regardless of where you come down on this, the damage being done is just it's frightening because there's so much at stake, people. And
Yeah, exactly. And we need to unify. We need to rally people behind it and sit there and go, you know, look, one side is wanting to take everything from your money to your property, right, to your livelihood. The other side wants you to prosper and be responsible for yourself and which one is better for you long term. And I'm kind of, it's obvious, but we can't get people all on the same bus going in the same direction.
Right. And so what you're seeing happening on the right is really very disconcerting. And so I'm glad she came out with that statement. It'll be interesting to see if there is any response. And again, we haven't talked too much about it. It's not a local issue. It's more of a national issue. It's sort of in the same sort of waters. We dip our teeny tiny toe in because, again, we're a little tiny. And the big dogs out there are all over this and talking about it. But I've been very frustrated by it. And so I was glad to see the response coming out. I appreciate righteous anger. That's what I saw this morning in her. Mm-hmm. And again, she is a widow. 3 months.
Yeah.
She's got many hats to wear. Give the woman some grace. And the attacks on the left with that gross Welch chick who's out there, who I love. Chicks on the right, she looks like a possum. That's a great apt description. Vile attacks on a widow. And I was nice to see John Fetterman, again, a Democrat senator, coming to her defense about how utterly repulsive that is. Just stop.
Oh, yeah.
Every opinion you have doesn't have to be vomited out onto the internet, lady.
Well, and even I'm sitting there going, she is one of those people that I had never really heard of prior to.
Wasn't she on the Housewives crap, the reality show?
Yeah, but and then all of a sudden it's like she is exploiting the situation with her vulgar, her lousy mentality, her just hateful rhetoric.
And who's the weird chick that sits next to her with the big black, you know, glasses and just nods. The whole thing is weird. So, you know, and again, they don't, leftists, it's like left talk radio. It really doesn't have an audience. It's all based on anger and everything else. So we're going to move on from that. Again, really glad to see Erica Kirk coming out. I'm really, it makes me very upset that she has to do that, but that's the world we live in. So I always get these poll questions. And so I wanted to run that by you, Hunter, and see what you, how you would answer. This one to me was like, oh gosh, this is a no-brainer. Do you support or oppose President Trump releasing the full video of the boats strike that killed two survivors? Everybody's been, you know, up in arms and discussing that. Where would you come down on that? Would you support or oppose releasing that video?
I'm in support of it simply because it debunks every bit of the theory. I mean, I literally watched the video of it yesterday. Of course, they take a little snippet. And right. It is a high-powered rocket boat literally shooting through the water.
Oh, it's not a fishing boat? It's not a trawler?
No. According to this post, it was. Look at them dropping their crab traps as they're throwing drugs into the ocean to try and get away.
Crab traps.
I'm going, there's not a crab in the world that can catch up to the speed of those traps.
Well, I'm with you. I voted in support. I would support that. It's kind of like body cams for police. Mm-hmm. You had the left and BLM clamoring for that. And it literally became a case of be careful what you wish for because it exposed what's really going on. And I think this is kind of the same thing. In the name of transparency, put it out there. If it, you know, it's so far away, it's not like you're watching something up close. It's very, you know, it's like drone footage or whatever. So I don't know about any kind of sort of graphic nature of it, but it would show what happened. 75.7% of 337 people so far support, 24.3% opposed.
Yeah, well, I saw somebody actually who broke down, you know, with knowledge of boating, literally that video and the dollar amount that is put into just the engines on that thing alone, the motors that are propelling that boat at a high rate of speed is about $100,000. Find me a fisherman. You go out to the coast and start polling our fishermen out there and ask, do you have $100,000 to drop into the engines of this boat right now?
Bet the answer would be no, because, you know, kind of like the restaurant business, there's not a lot of profit margin in that, and there's a lot of risk and a lot of stuff that goes into it. I remember watching Deadliest Catch. That's up there in the Bering, and I'm like, ugh. Interestingly enough, though, Republicans opposed it a little bit more than Democrats in this poll. 85.2% support versus 77.8% support. So anyway, that's interesting. I vote for transparency. I really do want to see. I want to see what's going on. So yesterday, again, we talked a little bit about when we were talking about trends in real estate and painting and things like that. We didn't talk the political side of things because clearly it's not appropriate for that conversation. But oh my, I'm sorry. The awfuls are losing their minds over color swatches now. Well. Pantone has made a choice. You know, it is racist. Woke. It's like the
New York
Post.
It is a white color.
It's white. What was it? Cloud Dancer White.
Cloud
which
Dancer
I'm kind of like, meh. Okay, yeah. White. All right. I'm kind of over the whole white and agreeable gray thing, but you do you, Pantone. That's their thing. Then they put the color swatches out, and those color swatch books that you get are not cheap. And apparently now these awfuls are setting them on fire because
it has the word white in it.
You care so much.
Well,
it's just ridiculous.
You show me the one person that's going to walk into a house that has tan or brown walls and sit there and go, God, I just see such a great future in this house.
Such an inclusive house. And I think the woman making one of these videos, oh my gosh, her walls were white. This is so stupid this crap has gotten.
Oh, yeah.
Again, they're saying that they're raging that this choice is tone deaf and is proof that, quote, whitewashing of America has gone too far. Shut up. I mean, can we just stop with this crap? Every day do you have to wake up and find something to be pissed off about?
Well,
my gosh.
The color white has been here a lot longer than even human beings have been here. When you really break it down, I'm sitting here going, you know, it's like the joke I always tell my kids. We'll sit down and watch Wizard of Oz. And I say, this is before the world had invented color. It's all black and white,
right?
You know,
sepia.
and then the world
was sepia.
And then as they were making this movie, color was invented, and that's why it transitions. And I'm kind of going, That's the thing is clouds were white long before you stepped foot on here and made a big deal about it.
It's all just so ridiculous.
Well,
and it just needs to be laughed at. Yeah. Honestly, it's just that ridiculous.
Well, I saw a meme yesterday that really stuck out to me, and I probably should have shared it before I lost it. But it was kind of somebody going from the perspective of watching a movie. And in this, you know, so it's a picture of a black guy holding a gun and on a white person. And the response is, how can you have a black person holding a gun being violent? Okay, so they flip it. So now the white guy's holding the gun and the black guy, that's racist because the white man is going to shoot the black man. Okay, fine. Two black people. You can't have black on black crime. You can't depict that that's racist. So they have two white people. This movie has no diversity in it whatsoever. And I go, it's the basis of the problem in society today, where no matter what you do, you cannot win.
Yep.
There's always going to be something to complain about.
So the only option is not to play. Great movie, War Games. Check it out. I watched it. But
that's all you can do. It's just not engaged. Let them kick and scream and holler at their, you know, cloud dancer white clouds in the sky and go out, maybe get out to the Willamette and let them shake a fist and scream on a Wednesday night. That's about all you can do now.
And that comes down to, just real quick before we take a break, starve the grift. And that's an effort out there to stop engaging with these accounts that put that out there. Stop rising to the rage bait, rising to the clickbait. I don't engage out there on that. I'll share it for show prep and things and talk like that and talk about it. But I don't engage where you've got people, you know, they're just slamming on their keyboards and spittle is flying. It's like, just stop. Starve. That gets the algorithm to start breaking that algorithm. To me, I'm all about starving the grift. Just stop. Stop with these people. Well, they're just utterly ridiculous. And frankly, half of them are not people. They are bots.
Yeah, well, even the obnoxious woman that's, you know, throwing her opinion out about Erica Kirk, it's like, stop watching her. You see her videos come off and, you know, X out of them, get rid of them. Do not pay attention to people like that, because that's where they make their money and they keep doing it to make more money.
Yeah, and that's where the engagement happens. And so again, I'm like, well, we stop talking about it. Well, we don't talk about it very often. A lot of we do. It's to bring awareness to it, and then you can go out there and then know what it is you're looking at. And it's like, okay, it's all this big algorithmic game. Mm-hmm. The only option is not to play. All right. On that note, let's take our break. You are listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
I'm getting some messages on my phone about the whole Pantone thing and the color thing. I mean, it's all just ridiculous. It's like, describe it what it is. Color, size, national origin? And then Lee said, too, in this room we have fall clouds across the sky. Hall is summer sky. New Idaho. Ooh, you have new Idaho trail carpet blends with the ocean tile.
Well, that's the thing. I'm sitting here going, if I walked into, should I go into Salem Pate and ask, where's the origin of this cloud dancer white coming from?
Yes, I know, exactly. Who do I have to give credit to? Is this stolen paint? All right. It just gets old. It gets old. All right. Okay, this one. Ew. And we've talked about this. I've never used these services and I'm not going to start either. DoorDash driver accused of pepper spraying customers' Arby's order, resulting in the wife falling ill. And this gets down to, you know, you have to tip these people before they even do anything. I don't know that I really trust somebody. Plus, you got politics on it. You got a bunch of unhinged people who get upset at color swatches, carrying your food if they find out, God forbid, you're a conservative or a Trump supporter, what's going to be in your food if you even get it? This is just one more reason to just not use this stuff. Get up off your butt, go get your own food.
Well, that's the thing. I'm sitting here going, you know, so virtually I place an order on this app. I then have to tip somebody. And if I don't tip enough, it's highly likely that the fear-free drivers that have the option of taking this aren't going to take it. So I have to you know, tip well enough that my food gets delivered quickly. Then if I were to have a MAGA sign in my front yard, imagine what the risk I would be putting, you know, my family at. I'm going, whatever happened to the days of don't take food from strangers?
What?
If it was an unmarked van driving around offering candy, they'd say, don't take it. But yet when it's a, you know, Prius pulling up with my... McDonald's or my Arby's order. I'm supposed to take it with a smile.
Well, apparently this guy, this happened in Evansville, Indiana. He's been banned from the app after being accused of, again, dousing the order with pepper spray and causing an unsuspecting customer, obviously, to fall ill. It was caught on a doorbell camera. This is a New York Post article. The driver, who has not been charged with a crime, was dropping off this delivery to this gentleman and his wife, and he snapped the photo before suddenly producing an object and spraying her. They're saying the blue-haired worker, that's usually a telltale sign. I don't want somebody with blue hair and the livestock ring delivering my food. No, thanks.
No, that's, yeah, but I'm going, the other thing is, in this day and age, with cameras everywhere, why would you do this in front of someone's door?
I know. You know, it's not like this happened in the 80s when there were no cameras and you could pretty much do whatever. I mean, we all got away with, well, thank God there were no cameras, frankly. A lot of us were stupid. You know, you're stupid when you're young. And now it follows everywhere. But you're right. Everybody, and you can see the doorbell camera. You can tell it's got a camera on it. So clearly people don't care, because then that goes to another cop. There's no, if this person hasn't been charged with a crime, hopefully it's just yet.
Yeah.
And that these people will press charges. That's clearly assault.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. If you're going to do, why wouldn't you have just done this in your car and then delivered it, you know, set it on the front porch?
And
you're doing it
why?
In, out. In, yeah. Well, I mean, obviously the blue hair and the, you know, cowbell are kind of telltale signs of why, but.
Interesting. I'm looking at the picture in the article, and I don't know. Anyway, speaking of nose rings, I'm not a fan, not a fan. So, yeah. So that's just one more tick in the box of, yeah, don't use those services. Go get your own food.
Well, you know, I always go to the fact that we were raised to you don't take food from strangers. You don't take drinks from strangers. When you're out and about, you protect your drink, especially if you're a woman, and you don't eat in the car with a stranger. And, you know, I'm sitting there going, and now you do all of those things and you're encouraged to do it.
And you're celebrated the more weird and bizarre stuff you put out there, or the more, here's my victim scale. And here's all the victim boxes I've ticked. And even back in the day, everybody in my generation, probably, I don't know, boomers and even probably millennials, I don't know, had diaries that had locks on them. And you would be mortified if your little brother or the rest of the world found out your deepest, darkest thoughts, the things that you share under the covers with a flashlight, dear diary. And now it's out there everywhere on the internet. I can't believe, especially on X, the stuff people put out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
grief.
Going to the door.
Also, I got to say, do you not think your employers can see you?
Well, that's
especially when you use your own name and your face.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, I just sit here and I go, you know, you talk about the DoorDash thing. Remember about a month ago, there was the woman that took the video of the naked drunk guy passed out on his couch.
Yeah.
Put that out as saying, I was sexually assaulted. Well, that thing flipped because he had cameras at his house that show her actually opening the door and taking the picture. So now she's being charged with assaulting him, because what did she do? She took all that, put it online, put him on blast online.
Online. And that's everybody's go-to. And then you never know when you're out and about. It's like, it almost makes you want to just kind of stay at home and not go anywhere. And then certainly not engage in small talk.
Oh, yeah. Well, there is no such thing anymore. Come on.
So does it? Yeah. It used to be sort of the social lubricant, aside from a drink. Small talk. You learn to make small talk. You remember people's names. You look them in the eye. Well, apparently Gen Z, they hate it. And in some regards, I get that. A lot of times it's sort of banal, blah, 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 blah. How's the wife and kids, when you're kind of like, I don't really care. I don't even remember your name or whatever. But you kind of have to do that. But then, of course, COVID made everybody shrink back. And now that everybody's back out, and I know a lot of Gen Z and even millennials, and frankly, even myself sometimes, hate talking on the phone. I will text before I'll talk on the phone. So I kind of get this. I kind
of
get it.
I'm C of the mindset, and you know, go out to a restaurant and you can almost find a table of young people that are all sitting there on their phones. They may be texting each other.
That's
they
sad.
May be texting other people that aren't there. You never know, but there is no small talk happening. And, you know, I'm one of those people, 90% of the time I will text, but I'll start texting a message and I'll realize it's going to be like a gigantic paragraph. And I give up and I just phone call, because I'd rather say it over the phone where people know where I'm coming from too. That's the other aspect. Texting in this way of communication today is so impersonal that you never really know the person's tone behind the message.
Right. That's the thing. There's no tone of voice. And so that's why things get taken out of context. I've gotten into, you know, tiffs and arguments before you actually pick up the phone. And in many cases, see, I actually have an app on my laptop where I can text because I hate thumb typing. So, I mean, I do get, so it's basically an entire generation is socially crippled by the debilitating fear of cringe. And I think that comes down to being caught and having people make fun of you if you're a little bit awkward. How many times have we seen somebody says one word wrong, or, you know, they, it's just one little thing goes wrong, and then that becomes the be all and end all of their existence. I mean, so, I mean, and that, and given, like you said, there's cameras everywhere, everybody has an opinion and is more than willing to share it on the interwebs. So, I mean, it's, again, I kind of get the sentiment behind this, but you really do need, and you kind of need that skill if you're going to be out and about in the adult world, navigating it, trying to be successful. Is that a goal anymore, to be successful out there in the wider world?
Well, that's, and I think that goes back to the school system in the understanding, because, you know, you go and go to these high school, you know, not graduations, but like they're senior nights for sports.
Yeah.
And you will literally listen to the same script come out of, they want to make a lot of money. They want to make a lot. It's like, but how do you just make a lot of money?
Yeah. You got to talk to people.
You got to be able to.
It's all about relationships.
Yeah. And I'm just kind of going, and that's the challenge with today's kids. And I know a part of it is, you know, yeah, you say something funny. Well, the person across the table from you could be recording this whole thing, and then they're posting it on the internet. Now you're a meme because you said something.
Gosh.
You know,
silly
accidentally.
Or, yeah. Yeah. So again, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to do all those things you just talked about, you got to be able to talk to people and build relationships. Well, so we'll
come on.
Yeah.
Money just doesn't fall out of the sky. That's what the government keeps telling me. I just need to vote Democrat and all the money in the world will be in my pocket.
Just print it. All right, everybody. We're going to take from the bottom of the hour and come back and chat with Salem Mayor Julie Roy. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Home Comfort and Color Tile of Salem.
All righty, welcome back, everybody, on this lovely. Hmm? It's lugubrious. I get to use the word again.
Yeah, it's better than yesterday.
It's better.
At least it's not drenching wet.
It got better. It got better by a little bit. It's not so bad today. All right. Well, brightening our day, though, inside the studio, of course, we're welcoming back to the show Salem Mayor Julie Hoy. Merry Christmas, Madam Mayor. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing just great. You know, speaking of the weather, my husband is absolutely enamored with the title Atmospheric River.
Oh, it's so dramatic.
It is.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Instead of just rain.
No, it's like you're going out into the atmospheric river.
I saw on the news, they were actually explaining it this morning on the Fox 12 that it's a phenomenon that happens regularly, but they just came up with a name for it in about the mid-90s.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, it makes you get all bundled up and you go out in it. It's an undertaking. You survive something when you get home.
Absolutely. Way down upon the Suwannee Atmospheric River.
Exactly. Oh, I made it home. Pray for me. I'm heading out into the atmospheric river.
But we talked about that yesterday. But this is Oregon, where every fall, winter, we have a historic storm that we're all lucky to survive.
I know.
Please, I lived through the 96 floods. I remember. Okay. All right. Enough about the weather.
Right.
So, Madam Mayor, all kinds of stuff happening. Obviously, we're coming up on a primary season where, again, we always remind people that's where the elections happen. Mm-hmm. Mayoral re-election and candidates. Council candidates. It's the even ones up this time. So one of the things over the past couple of weeks, and I've been out, you know, saying I've watched these meetings. I did not watch Monday, and all to just disclose that. But there have been this issue about the these reaffirming existing resolutions and things like that. But one of the tone that I keep hearing and the issue that comes up is decorum.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to give you a chance to address that, to talk about that. There have been a number of people that have spoken about that. I think people that attend those meetings probably feel it. Talk to us a little bit about your thoughts on that. What can you do as mayor and what are the rules?
Well, that's big and it's getting better. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a lot of tools in the toolbox, frankly,
okay.
for me.
Okay.
A major missing piece was basically a timer on the audio. So when the clock would run out, there was no stop to the microphone. So people would just go on.
Yeah.
And no one had control of that. So now there is a mute button, and it happens when the clock hits zero and folks' time is up. So that Monday night made a world of difference. And folks
So this past, this Monday's meeting. Yeah. Oh, good. Okay.
Well, you know, we're in a new space, right? I mean, we're not in the Civic Center. Everything
and
got.
I bet there are challenges with that.
Upturned. We have struggled with technology since we walked in the door, and it's not a space that's physically conducive to a council meeting. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. you know, you've got half a square basically, and I'm sitting in the middle of the bottom of it, and mm-hmm. I can't see the people on the corner. You know, mm-hmm. So there's a lot of like bumpy stuff happening since we were uprooted from Civic and landed in the Laux Auditorium at the library. Audio has been, the technology has been an absolute challenge, like to the point of, I mean, I have experience in the recording industry and some work in the radio industry. When things are not handled professionally, technologically, it just makes everything worse.
It does.
And so we've been living under that. No offense to city staff. They're doing the best they can in a space that they're not used to working in. Mm-hmm. And it dawned on me after the last couple of meetings, not this Monday night, but that something was missing. And it was that timer on the microphone. There's little control when, you know, and some said, well, just keep banging your gavel. And I'm like, great. So I can look like the crazy person? You know, no, thank you. It has to stop. You get 3 minutes, period.
So the other piece of that is the gallery, the people that are in there. And I know I've been in courtroom sessions where, and I won't mention the judge, he was very strict, and most people would probably remember him. He kept a very tight courtroom. He didn't allow outbursts. You were told to leave if you had. And in fact, I had a family member who got a little carried away and was asked to leave because it was a disruption. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts and what is possible are different. Mm-hmm. We have to be careful from a liability standpoint, you know, because freedom of speech is a thing. And the city of Portland was sued for taking someone out of a meeting. And we don't want to go there. We don't want to be there. So there is some difficulty in it, but I am vowing, and I have reiterated the rules of decorum when the meeting starts. And now that we have the mute button in place, it's going to help. And we got to see how it goes from there. Things are getting better.
Okay. Because, my concern is obviously the past two meetings I saw were heavily weighted towards one point of view and one perspective. And you had a few people that wanted to speak a different perspective. And I watched them get shouted down and talked over, and
it's not okay.
I don't think anybody wants that. I think most people, you need to be free to engage your government civically in the manners that you have. So
absolutely, I agree with you 100%. It's also somewhat of a difficult environment when, I mean, there is like at times there isn't anything I could say, not one syllable that would satisfy some of the people in that room.
Right.
And they are acting out. They're lashing out. They're angry. Mm-hmm. They're scared. Mm-hmm. They're also driven to promote their mission. Mm-hmm. And it is a difficult environment. So
yeah, it's interesting to watch the meetings and to see what's going on, and then to go over here and then see the news stories that come out and look at the social media, which is the polar opposite reaction. So it's very interesting. It's a difficult time. I don't envy the challenge that you and the council face on this. Certainly, it is very. And then again, like you said, having that, being in a different space with technology challenge. We know about technology challenges.
Yeah, right?
When things go woof, they go woof, and it's not a good thing. So.
Well, and when you're sitting there, I mean, I bowed when I came into this position as mayor to provide a safe space for everyone to come and be able to speak. And that is still my goal. Our council has that. We have that ability, and we do that. It's the public that's come in, and especially the of late angry public that come in that have, you know, pushed that envelope.
Right.
And I'm still determined to create safe space for everyone to express their views and to be respected for them. So,
okay. So the issues that were, there were two meetings that were devoted to this. And again, this was a, again, reaffirming a resolution that was passed in 2017, mm-hmm. that was reaffirming a resolution that was passed in 1997. Mm-hmm. So what I'm seeing in my thoughts on this, what was
the
really
heck for?
What was accomplished here?
Yeah.
Other than two meetings that were, you know, which we've talked about, and anybody who's watched it, were not very productive.
No.
Unless they were for an agenda. I don't know. I'm asking.
I don't believe it was productive, and I was opposed. I voted in opposition to the declaration mm-hmm. of an emergency along with two other counselors. And mm-hmm. I believe for me, for good reason, because it wasn't going to change anything. Mm-hmm. It was not going to change how the federal enforcement officers are acting in our streets the next day. It's just, it's not going to make it any different. And as a matter of fact, listening to Counselor Matthews, it could potentially make things worse.
That's what I was just going to say. I heard mm-hmm. him say that because, I mean, to me, you see the states that are actually cooperating with it. You're not seeing this necessarily happening. Mm-hmm. And again, what we're talking about and most people in the country are talking about is people with an illegal status, illegal. And so it gets hard to get down into the discussion when you can't even really necessarily agree on the terms.
Well, exactly.
I agree with Representative Matthews in the fact that, you know, now and we're seeing it in videos across the nation of people interfering with federal activity.
Yeah.
And then screaming victimhood because how dare you go after me? And I'm kind of going, so to the layman who's not paying attention to what this all is really all about, they get a social media post that says the city of Salem has confirmed that, you know, it's a state of emergency in this, and that will embolden people to go out and try and get in the way and interfere and create more chaos to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm. And the demands that were made,
mm-hmm. the financial demands. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I found it offensive, and I know I've spoken to other mayors who have put some money into it and the money is gone very quickly within a couple of days. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to change it. It's not going to do enough. That's what I've said. We need more. We need more to be done. We need immigration reform.
When you say
reform.
More, what?
Immigration reform.
Okay.
We need our legislators, our congresspeople to get it, to work on this problem. We, as a municipality, don't have any control mm-hmm. over
Correct.
This. It is not our lane. And
nor is it the states. This is immigration.
It's a federal issue. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think the frustration coming from, again, what did this do? And there are so many, and we were talking about, and in fact, I want to talk to you about, we'll probably take a break, but homelessness, drugs, crime, mm-hmm. those are the issues that need to be addressed. And we had mm-hmm. two meetings that I think a little bit of it was, I mean, I had to kind of come in and out of it, but those are very real issues to people's everyday lives, including the people that were at that meeting, those two meetings, that affects them too.
Yes.
So I want to come back and talk about that because you have on your webpage, Julie Hoy for Salem, you've got an overview of Salem's public safety collaboration. So let's dig into a little bit of that and maybe some real concrete things that can be done to address those issues that affect everybody. So again, we're talking with Salem Mayor Julie Hoy. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Pearl and Mill in Cozy's New York Deli.
All righty, we are wrapping up our conversation with Salem Mayor Julie Hoy. So I want to kind of move over to big concerns in town. Homelessness has been a continuing ongoing issue. Drugs, crime, things like that, trying to revitalize downtown. Over again on your website, Julie for Salem. A day ago, you posted an overview of Salem's public safety collaboration. You've been involved in some meetings. Let's talk a little bit about that, because those are some concrete things that can be done to address these problems that affect everybody in Salem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a couple of meetings last week, actually, with Marion County. One mm-hmm. meeting in particular was with Marion County Commissioners, Polk County Commissioners, the Sheriff's Department, and Salem PD.
And
Marion County Mental Health professionals, and we had a good discussion about what's going on and what progress is being made. I'm happy to say that at the same time, Salem has been on a track for this clean, safe, and healthy Salem. Increased our HST officer team to from two and a sergeant to four and a sergeant.
Real quick, what's HST?
Homeless Services Team.
Okay.
Yep. They are sworn officers who have been developing relationship with our unhoused for 2-3 years now. Sorry, I can't remember if it's two or three. Must be three. 3 years. And they do a great job. They get to know the folks that are there. They try to direct them into services. They know when the cleanup team is also part of the HST team, is our cleaning services group, and they will join with them to post and disband a camp to get rid of the trash and all that kind of thing. They work really well together. Now, with those addition of those two officers, they're going to be 7 days a week instead of four. Which is going to make a huge difference in just the continuity in service will improve. You know, if folks know how and where and when to be somewhere to get around the rules and any kind of enforcement, they will do it. Mm-hmm, and when you have that team available 7 days a week, it's a different ballgame. So good.
So I saw Salem Reporter at a thing. There's sort of a renewed, or I don't know, there's been an ongoing, because one of the worst, I think the worst in the state is Wallace Marine.
Yes, ma'am.
And so obviously that's one about a mile and a half from the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
So is that also, this is part of that with these folks going there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've been out there several times with the HST team. They're with Bennett and Ramirez is the team, and they know a lot about what's going on in Salem when it comes to our unhoused population. And
are many of them formerly homeless and drug addicted and formal people that really know and can speak the truth out there and understand where I couldn't.
You're talking about the officers?
Yeah.
What you're speaking to would be more like the Hope Dealers.
Mm-hmm. Be Bold Street Ministries.
Be Bold, yeah. Being able to go out into the park, and I've been out with them many times as well to get to know people, to pray with people, to mm-hmm. hopefully be there at that moment when they've decided enough is enough and they're ready to come out and they're ready to get well, get sober, get clean, and get the help that they need to live a good life.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of folks out there. I know Matt Massera, we've had him on many times in his team, and he's out there. There's a whole group of folks. And again, there's an authenticity and a realism. I think people can kind of see through if you're kind of like, yeah, I feel your pain kind of thing. It's like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
And these guys really do.
Absolutely.
So I'm looking at, you've got Salem Outreach and Livability Services and cleanups. I'm assuming, honestly, to be very honest, they've been busy.
Yes, absolutely. Every day. And they go out with their to-do list, and mm-hmm. a higher priority may arise. So they're basically doing the job as it needs to be done. And, you know, Matt Massera, speaking of him, he spoke at the council meeting Monday night.
Oh, okay.
And honestly, anytime he does, it's just like, that's real. That's true. And that's good work.
Yeah. And we need to hear more. And I have these guys at the table for all of this.
Accountabilities. And, you know, to become a contributing member of our community, to give back, you know, it's to be able to give back well, to be well enough to do that is, I think, what I would hope for anyone.
Well, and they talk about sort of the dignity in the hand up versus the hand out. And I think a lot of people, when you interview, when you talk to folks like that, they're saying that as well. There's dignity in work. There's dignity in holding people accountable and expecting better of them.
Yeah.
there's dignity in that. So I would encourage people to go out and read this. Again, it's julieforsalem.com. So I want to switch gears. Salem had it's Christmas time. It's Christmas, Mayor.
Just
Mayor
hear
Hawaii.
Those sleigh bells ringling, jing, jing, jingling, doo.
So, Salem, did you know your mayor could sing?
Well, I'm inclined. So for Christmas, we usually change up our program and just play music. Maybe we need to have Julie just come in and, you know, sing for our Christmas, you
for
know.
For 24 hours. flowers. You got nothing better to do, right?
Gaither homecoming isn't needed. We've got Julie Hoy.
Well, I know you do. You do a special Christmas event every year. The tree lighting just happened. How did that go?
Tree lighting.
I always love the tree lighting.
It was awesome. And the city really did a fine job of setting up and getting ready for it. Fortunately, it wasn't raining. It was a really nice,
goodness.
It was a little windy, but it wasn't rainy, which was great. I'd never turned on the big tree before, so I'm sitting there with the switch in, you know, in her hands, and I'm ready to hit it, and I read my remarks that Linda Rose prepared so perfectly.
Linda Rose.
Love her.
Heart.
She's retiring.
I know.
Just
so
a minute.
Sad.
I need a minute. Anyway, so I read the remarks, and we count down from 10, and I flip the switch, and the tree comes on, and it goes down. And I immediately take off for the power source, you know, and so does the gal that was with me. And we open the box and plug it in right, and the tree comes back on, and all was right with the world.
Somebody tripped over an extension cord.
Right.
Oh, my God. And that's the thing is, and it's downtown at the Riverfront Park, and it's a living tree. And I believe, and I'm sure the mustache will correct me if I'm wrong, that it was Mayor Gertenrich who planted that tree back in the day as a little sapling. In fact, I was looking on my social media memories, and it came up when Mayor Anna Peterson, when she was mayor, and going down there, and when my son was littler. And then, of course, the park is done up beautifully with Christmas lights. It's just a winter wonderland. It's without the snow. You got the atmospheric rev up. Right. Okay.
Right. You know, one more thing. If it's okay if I just throw something
Absolutely.
In here.
Yes.
I drove past the Civic Center, which is all fenced off and under construction, and I thought, what a great metaphor. The city of Salem is under construction, and we're going to come out so much better than we were before. Looking
there
forward
you
to
go.
It. Yep.
And go ahead, Hunter.
Oh, I was just going to say, and with this Christmas tree lighting malfunction, at least you're not alone, because in the Statesman Journal, they point out that the Oregon State Capitol's grand tree, which is inside the Capitol building right here, when they tried to turn it on, it just didn't come on at first. And then finally did.
Oh, so. And then one section came on, and then and then it finally all came on. So everything's good.
Needed to warm up a little bit. Everyone has their tree malfunctions.
Everybody's Christmas trees.
Yes. And the key word here is resilience. Mm-hmm. Don't let it get you down. If the lights don't come on or all the way, we'll get there.
Well, it's almost like just the Christmas tree in your own home. You know, you get the lights on, you plug it in and realize half the strand doesn't work or, you know.
Because of one bulb.
Yeah.
Bulb. Those are the old ones. But remember that? One bulb. And then you had dad going through, and you had to pull everyone out, and you had to check it. It's like, and you wonder why dad was a little grumpy over Christmas.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's Christmas time. It's dangerous out there, you know, with those exposed wires and the plugs and everything else. I've been having a heck of a time getting our decorations all running on the way they're supposed to at home. So
it's a big job, big responsibility.
Well, I'm assuming you're all up and decorated for Christmas. And
who are you talking
just for
to?
Your home. I'm talking to you, Madam Mayor.
No, but the restaurant looks like $1 million. Yeah, well, the
does
restaurant's
it?
Completely decked. Our dear Shannon does that. She does the holidays for us, and I love it. I walk in, it's like a little wonderland in there.
Oh,
it's good.
I love that.
At
I
home,
that.
We're lacking.
I love that.
We got a little on the outside, nothing on the inside.
Okay, well, it's not like you're busy. Well, Madam Mayor, Merry Christmas to you. We love having you. We will probably see you after the first of the year.
Wonderful. Thanks so much. Merry Christmas.
All righty. Merry Christmas. All right, everybody. That's it for us. Come back tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.